You ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour. A lot of good stuff all over the place. Everything from golden showers to football to James Harden. So you missed it all. It's on podcastarena.com. A lot of great stuff coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Beth Liebling will join us for Pillow Talk. And her topic of the day is going to be dating do's and don'ts, which everybody out there who's dating can use. And she's very good at this stuff, so make sure you tune in at 6:15. She'll also answer your questions. And also, want to get a little plug for the website, which I know Jon reads every single day. But HoustonSportsAndStuff.com. Got some very cool stuff coming up tomorrow. For Cowboys fans, Ty Cloud, who's a former UH offensive lineman, who's written some stuff for us before, he's going to tell you why he loves the Cowboys and why you should love the Cowboys. And Hot Dog Holly is going to make her first contribution to the site because she's an Eagles fan, and she's going to tell you why you should hate the Cowboys. And I'm also going to – I'll tell you what, both of them are very, very good. Holly's going to be doing a lot with us. Very smart, very snarky, fits right in. I'm also going to drop my first fiction in a while at some point tomorrow as well. So if you like witches in Vegas, that's what that's going to be about. That's all I'm going to say.
Short story or what?
It's kind of turning into a novella.
It's a novella.
Too long to be a short story and too short to be a novel.
Okay.
But it's turning out longer than I planned for it to be. But it's I'm pretty proud of it. I think the people will like it. And we had some fun stuff on there today, too. Chris Campisi talked about Jeff Bagwell's Hall of Fame credentials, and Lamont stirred everybody up with political stuff, as usual. So went after the liberals. And then I'm getting caught in friendly fire. I mean, nobody reads my disclaimer. It's like, hey, we welcome everybody's opinions, but they're not mine.
Right.
And they're not those of the site, and they're not those of the advertisers. So just keep that in mind before you start jumping on me. 713-780-ESPN is your number. All right, this thing is, I don't know if I'm going to make it here, man. This thing is killing me.
Tough it out, man.
All right, fine. Let's, you know what? Can we squeeze out a couple calls here? Let's try Brian on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. What's up, Brian?
Hey, you guys. I hope you're doing well today. Brad, I just heard you're throwing like a bunch of articles up there tomorrow. I guess I better get writing and get you something tonight.
Well, I would hold off because you're going to get pushed back.
You're going to get bumped.
Yeah, we got too much stuff coming tomorrow.
I know, but I got to get my picks in, right? I wanted to call and talk to you about that Pacific Football League that you were talking about a little while ago. I was reading more about that today, and a lot of the stuff that they're offering to these guys, like they're talking about giving them the option to play junior college football in the offseason with tuition assistance and on top of the $50,000 that they're paying for them. Like, their goal was to really not compete with the NFL, but to make it kind of a tool for the NFL. And I thought, for me, like, when I read about that, like, I thought that was something that might make it successful, is if their purpose is to stay small. And, you know, they're going to do one season in 2018, but they're talking about opening up other pods in Northern California after that. And they also talked that they're in talks with people to get TV rights, but they're looking at trying to keep it like high school type football, like that kind of small crowds, you know, playing at one or two stadiums kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's potential there, but I also, I don't know about the TV rights because I still don't know what quality of player you're going to get. And the top prospects are still going to go to the top schools. Now, if that thing gets bigger and better, then that's where it might start affecting some of your group of five schools. If say you can make $100,000 a year instead of 50, you might want to go play rather than go to a school like that. But I'm always skeptical of these leagues because I just think now I like the summer idea because there is some dead time there. But I also wonder, I admit I got oversaturated with football this year between all the college games and all the NFL games. And when it's over, I'm going to be kind of ready for a break from it. Now, maybe by summer I'll feel differently.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I'm going to be all that crazy about going to Spike TV or whatever and watching, you know, two teams from California with a bunch of high school kids.
Yeah, I'm always worried I'm going to be really sad when football's over. But, I mean, it's kind of a break for us.
Yeah, we can actually start branching out into some other things. You can do more college basketball, which is always cool. Speaking of which, boy, you called that Baylor game.
Yeah, they gave it to them last night. That was a good win for West Virginia. That's a good team, man. They're playing. Ever since Bob Huggins introduced this press, it's been a different team. And
they're better offensively than they've been in the past under him as well. And I think you mentioned in Ken Pom, they're like top five offense and defense.
Yep, they're good.
So.
And they turned Baylor over, it seemed like 100 times last night.
I know this is their only loss, but is that Baylor's one weakness is the ball handling in the backcourt?
Probably so. That's probably the worst thing. But they're still a very good team, don't get me wrong. And if that game were played in at Baylor, it may be a different outcome. But the way they're playing right now, man, West Virginia is a tough place to go. And West Virginia, like people were saying, oh, how can Baylor be an underdog? They're the number one team in the country. Every team in the country would be an underdog at West Virginia today. So it's not a diss to Baylor because Baylor's legit. They've got some really good wins this year, but that's a very, very good West Virginia team. Obviously,
there were some other pretty good basketball games last night. I usually don't pay attention this early, but you had some good top 10 matchups last night.
Yeah, that one. And then Florida State Duke was on. Yeah. It's been some good games lately. Now that we're getting into conference, you'll get a little more of that.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Let's try. Is that AG?
Looks that way. Ag?
Is it Ag or AG?
AG. All right. It's AG. Okay. Like, all good. Sports to you, fellas. Quick, what are the odds questions? The last time the Cowboys won the Super Bowl, the Rockets also won the World Championship. What are the odds that one or both of those will happen? And if you think any of them will happen, which team will it be? I'll hang up and listen. Love the show.
The odds that both happen, I'd put it about 1%.
Yeah, that's an awful lot that has to occur. And if you're asking me who has a better chance, I think it's clearly the Cowboys. The Rockets are still going to have to go through Golden State and probably San Antonio. And while I could see them winning a 7-game series against San Antonio, I don't think I could see them winning back-to-back series against those two teams just to get to the finals. A lot can change. I don't know, Rockets fans are going to get all mad when you hear that, but a lot can change. There could be injuries and... But the Cowboys are going in as the number one seed. Now, if you ask me who would win on a neutral field out of 10 times between the Cowboys and the Patriots, I'm probably taking the Patriots 7.
Yeah.
But I think the Cowboys could win 3 of those, and if that's the case, it's only one game. You got a shot at it. So, yeah, I'll go Cowboys on that. I don't know exactly what odds I would give on it. I still think it's probably 25%.
Okay.
But that's much more likely than Rockets and – certainly more likely than both because you have to get both in order to hit it. Let's try Bobby. What's up, Bobby? Hello, Bobby.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes. Got you.
We got you.
My question was, what is the chances? I'm a Dallas fan. What is the chances with rookie quarterback as well as he's playing that Dallas can beat Green Bay?
Well, I think that's a million-dollar question because – we talked about this when Dak Prescott looked so good in the preseason. What did we all say? Well, everything gets harder in the regular season. The intensity level goes up. He didn't really have a drop-off. He kept playing great. He was one of the best quarterbacks all year long, deservedly in the MVP discussion. He's not going to win it, but certainly in it. And, you know, answered pretty much every question. However, playoff intensity, it goes up even more. And in this case, I think this will be a huge test for him. If I were worried about anything, if I were a Cowboy fan, I'd be very concerned. Well, I think Aaron Rodgers can take advantage of your secondary. I think a lot depends on Jordy Nelson there, too. They really need him. But that would be my concern, first playoff game against a quality opponent. And I got a lot of Cowboys fans that when we're talking, they say, oh, well, look what they did to him in Lambeau. And yeah, and you know what? The Packers were playing awful then. They lost to the Colts.
Yeah.
They had a bad stretch. They were 4-6. This is a different Packer team. I'd certainly rather play him. I'd certainly rather play him in Dallas, well, Arlington, than in Green Bay. But that game is going to be very, very good, and it's going to come down to who makes fewer mistakes. And that would be my only concern, is he ready for this? And I don't know why he wouldn't be. He's been ready for everything else. And I'm looking forward to that game. And people keep asking for betting opinions on games. I got to be honest, man. I think everything that I see, these numbers are where they should be. I don't really see anything that jumps out at me.
I like the Packers catching those points.
That's the one I'm looking at. But I can't touch the Texans game.
That's too big of a number.
There's not a number you could put on the Texans that would make me bet them. And there's no way I'm giving them that many points. So I'm just going to stay away from that. You know, I may be on the Steelers, but otherwise it's going to be a really light weekend for
me. I may be on the Falcons, and otherwise it may be a light weekend. I will be on the Packers. I might be on the Falcons.
See, this is like a civil war for you, Falcons and Seahawks.
Yeah.
The only thing that make it worse is if it was somehow a three-way with the Ravens.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, the Seahawks on the road, traveling to the East Coast. I mean, obviously in the playoffs, it doesn't make as much of a difference. They're getting there earlier in the week, and it's full-on preparation, but they've got time to adjust. But just the way they've played in recent weeks, you kind of have to like Atlanta. I mean, they've been so good, and Earl Thomas not being there has just got to be – I mean, mouth-watering to Matt Ryan. So I would also argue that, with the exception of what they've got going in Pittsburgh, Atlanta probably has the best three-headed monster as far as, you know, run, pass, catch in the league, with Ryan, Julio Jones, and the kind of Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman two-headed monster. So, and they're better on defense. I do like that team, and I like that they're better at home, and Seattle's weaker on the road.
Yeah, and these two teams played really close in Seattle in the regular season. Now you take Earl Thomas out of there.
Yeah.
And we shall see.
All right, guys, now's the time to save big on cleaning your carpets, your air duct, your tile, your upholstery, your whatever, with Dirt Free Carpet. They'll clean one room free with any purchase, which means you pay to get one room cleaned. They're going to clean the second one absolutely free. Give them a call, Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning, 281-DIRT-FREE. That's 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free Carpet. And go chemical free with Dirt Free Carpet. They use powerful engines to create these high pressure steam made from their patented super water, not toxic chemicals, not soaps, not anything that's going to be unhealthy to you or your kids or your pets. They've been doing it for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. Give them a call right now. 281-DIRT-FREE. That's 281-347-8373. Tell them you heard about it right here. You'll get one room of carpet cleaned free with any purchase. That's 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for Dirt-Free Carpet. And if you don't know,
now you know. ESPN 97.5.
All right, we're coming back a little early because we've got a very special guest joining us now in town for the Bear Bryant Award. One of the finalists, Mike McIntyre from Colorado, who had a fantastic season. Coach, appreciate you coming on, and congratulations on being a finalist.
Thank you very much. This is a great honor. Growing up in Nashville, Tennessee, and in the South, and Paul Bear Bryant was everybody's hero, and followed him closely, the Alabama Crimson Tide.
I got to say, if you had told me at the beginning of the year that Colorado would be, you know, a three-loss team going into their bowl game, and you know, everything that you guys accomplished this year, winning the South Division of the Pac-12, I would have said you're kind of out of your mind. But I mean, you guys really put something together with a veteran team that you grew, and to go from winning two games in conference in the last 3 years. I mean, 2-25 to going 8-1 this year in conference. What an amazing feat for you. I mean, how did this transformation happen?
Well, it was definitely a process over the last few years. Our young men just kept developing, kept working. Our head coaches worked with them extremely hard. I think the thing that, you know, just made it
sports special is you tell young people and you tell everybody, work hard, do the right things, develop, push, and good things will happen. And that always doesn't always happen. But to watch it happen with these young men this year, their willpower, their constant togetherness, and to fight through all the adversity to come out on top was special. And to just see the joy in their eyes as they were doing it and the confidence they were building, to me was a little bit of a life-changing event for them as far as when they have hard times ahead in their lives, they know they can fight through it if they just keep pushing.
Well, and that brings up the obvious next question is, with USC preseason number one next year, they're in you guys' division, how difficult is it going to be to bring back and meet this newfound expectation again?
Well, we're going to be good again. We've built our program. Out of our five captains that we had and our team elected them, three of them were juniors. So I think that shows you that we're not just going to be a one-hit wonder by any stretch. And you know, it's a great tradition there, and it's a great place to play. And, you know, we got USC at our place, and we'll see what happens.
Coach, I want to take you back to 2015. At what point did you start seeing that, you know what, these kids could be really good next year? Because you guys had some tough losses at the end of the season, but you also had some really close games at USC and the Utah game. All of those, did you kind of start seeing, hey, we're really close to turning this around?
Right. Our kids knew – you know, the other 2 years, we had a few close games, but most of the time we were getting beat pretty good. And then our third year, we were winning a lot of games in the fourth quarter or tied right there going in and against teams that had been beating us by 40 at halftime. And I knew that we came back if they worked extremely hard and they started believing, they started playing their roles the correct way as far as being prepared always. And they really dove into what we call 24/7, 365 Colorado football, that they would be able to do that, and that's what they did.
You know, this was actually your first bowl game experience because you've only coached one winning season in your career before this year, and you were already on your way to Colorado. So what was it like having that, you know, going on, and how did the postseason environment feel to you?
It was good. It was new for all our – it was new for everybody in our program, because they hadn't been to a bowl since 2007, so nobody really around the building even hardly had been to a bowl game. And we ended up playing an excellent football team, which I knew when I turned the film on. I said, "This is a top 10 team for sure," and they were. And you know, all the teams we lost to this year are ranked in the top 10 in the country at the end of the year, and they'll be ranked in the top 10 when the season starts next year. Everybody else, you know, we beat a bunch of top 20 teams and top 25 teams. So we're right on the verge of breaking in there. I know we were ranked in the top 10 for a while, but we're right on that edge of the of being excellent and being able to compete at that level all the time. And we're in the process. We got to that point, and we weren't quite ready for it yet. And that's one of the things we got to take that next step this offseason and this spring and fall to be prepared for those type of teams and those type of atmospheres.
You have built a resume of being a program resurrector, and you have taken programs that were in literally the worst possible shape to now and turned them into really legitimate football powers. That brings the obvious question, especially if you have another season like this one at Colorado, big offers are probably going to be headed your way for an even bigger program in Colorado. Do you look at Colorado as a destination job? Are you happy permanently there in Boulder, or is it possible that you're a guy who's always going to keep his ear open for offers?
No, we love it at Boulder. Our family loves it. I love it there. You know, this is a program that, you know, a lot of people, it was ranked like the top 14th football program of all time in college football, I think, by one publication. You know, there was years there from 1987 till 2004. Their average rank was in the top 15 a couple times, number one. If they finished number one, or they were ranked number one a lot. I definitely think we can be that. We've built brand new facilities. It's kind of a destination spot. And then being in the Pac-12, you know, a lot of our students are from California area. So that really helps us. I definitely think it's a program that you can keep elite and keep it there now that, especially now that we've built all these brand new facilities we moved into about 18 months ago. That really helps us. We have the nicest football facility in the Pac-12. So it's exceptional, and we have our chancellor and our president, all the people there are, you know, football is something that's special at Colorado, and now that we've got it back, I think that we'll definitely be able to sustain it.
And I suppose Colorado realized that you're doing them some good as well, as you got a contract extension. Was it yesterday, I believe?
Yeah, I got a contract extension, yeah, the other day, yes.
Well, congratulations on that.
Well, thank you very much.
How do you feel about the field in tonight's competition, the Bear Bryant Award? What do you think of your chances, and how would you handicap your opponents?
I'm really humbled to be in the room with the men that are in there, and to even be mentioned in the Paul Bear Bryant Award is amazing to me. I looked at all the list of the men that have won it. It's incredible just to be mentioned in those names and being here with these men that have built great programs and have done unbelievable things. And hopefully, as the years go by, I'll be able to be back here often, and that shows that we kept it going in the right direction.
Well, Coach, we appreciate the time, and congratulations on the season. Wish you all the future success in the world, and good luck tonight as well.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Mike McIntyre from Colorado. So we just happened to have him pop up. So.
Yeah, we knew that was going to happen. And I think last hour we almost had P.J. Fleck, but he had to run.
All right. It's good. Yeah. I'll take Coach Mack. He's good.
That's a good story. It really is, because not that we'd get into it, but they're pretty good to us at the betting windows this year, too.
Yeah.
Colorado was one of those teams that...
Because nobody believed in them until up until the very end.
Yeah. Max, talk about that's not correct. The Packers were 3-1 with a number one run defense at home. They weren't 4-6 and blah, blah, blah. They got beat. Yeah, you know, you can't say enough. This is why most of you Cowboy fans, people hate you. Can't say enough good things about your team without you trying to turn it. You know what the Packers' run was during that stretch that you started with their loss? They came back and beat the Bears. And you know what happened after that? They lost to the Falcons. They lost to the Colts. They lost to the Titans. And they lost to the Redskins. So that's the team you beat.
I mean, obviously the Packers are a different team right now than they were.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, the Cowboys haven't looked as great as they did early in the season.
Yeah, but I just take that game and say, oh, well, this happened, so this is going to happen. Go to the betting windows then. Good luck.
Yeah.
Because even with when we're talking about we're talking about the Texans. Are they going to get beat 27-0 again? No. I mean, they're going to score some points. Their defense is better. But they're also, the Patriots are playing at a higher level. It's just, you got to take every game within its context. And if you don't do that, and I get it. Fans, that's what you do. You know, oh, my team's the greatest no matter what. Well, that's not what we do. So, sorry. But thanks for the call. Or thanks for the tweet, I mean. Let's try Matt. You're on the Blitz. Go.
Sports.
Sports to you.
So I'm a Texans fan, diehard, obviously, but I'm realistic, and I don't think we have a shot at winning. But if the weather turns nasty, do you think that gives us a better shot where it's kind of makes a field smaller and it turns into more defense and running?
I don't think so, because the Patriots are used to that. They still throw the ball around in nasty weather. They don't care. Only time it would matter is if it gets extremely windy. And maybe then you've got a chance, but I still don't. I hate to be like Debbie Downer. I just have a hard time seeing something that's going to...
I don't remember the stat I saw, but Tom Brady and weather under... Of course, pretty much you take Tom Brady in any situation, the record's going to be ridiculous. That's just one. So this is why people want to root against you, Cowboy fans. It's not your team. Your team's fun. I love watching Zeke Elliott run all over the place. I love watching Dak Prescott and Dez Bryant. It's you guys. It's you guys.
Lamont says, if you guys had to calculate which teams you bet on that won you the most money total this year, would it be the Cowboys? It wouldn't be for me.
No.
It would be Atlanta, because I bet Atlanta a lot, and they were solid against the spread, and I bet Atlanta overs a lot. And they were almost unstoppable against that.
Yes. And somebody had...
I think 13-2-1 on the year for Atlanta on overs.
Yeah, somebody had texted me that late in the season, and I'd bet about four of the Atlanta overs early. And so I just kept hammering them there at the end. And the other thing is...
And I'll tell you that I could tell you the team that lost me the most, too, is Seattle. Seattle against the spread was not good this year. And I eventually got away from them later in the season, but they weren't. And I'll tell you another team that was close, and I think I'm almost sure they were the worst team against the spread in the league, was the Browns.
Yeah.
Because early on, when I knew the Browns were horrible, but they kept games close. They were like, they were showing fight. And so I thought eventually late in the season they were going to really fight to get something done. And I took them a few times, and then the one time I didn't take them, they finally won a game. I mean, it was just the Browns were tough for me, and eventually I just got away from the Browns altogether. Probably around week 10, I said, I'm just done with these guys for good. So
let's see, Saints overs for me, which I played pretty consistently all year. I missed one big one early against the Giants, but other than that, and contrary to what 9366 idiot Cowboy Texter says, I bet the Cowboys a lot this year.
Yeah.
And they were money.
I actually have who was the best against the spread and who was the worst.
Okay.
AJ, you're correct. Cleveland was the worst against the spread. 4-12 against the spread.
I got one. Okay, let me guess who's next, because this is another team I made money on, but just fading them is the Rams.
Yes, you are correct. Yeah. 4-11 against the spread.
Fading the Rams was great for me this year.
And the best team against the spread, obviously, I mean, it's pretty obvious, New England Patriots. They were 13-3 against the spread.
Oh, my.
New Orleans came in second, 10-5-1. Dallas comes in at third, 10-6. And your Houston Texans, let's see, they are at the bottom. They're towards the bottom. They're 7-9-1. And Fred, to look up your Saints overs, 9-7.
Yeah, and I think I only missed on two of those this year. So, and I probably hit six or seven of them.
Yeah,
I mean, nice. I didn't play them every week, but that was mostly at home. I'd like to know the home record on the overs, because that and indoors.
Yeah, so. this website doesn't have that, breaking down that.
Yeah, but obviously there's more to it than just that. But those were the games that I made my biggest bets on, and it's when the Saints were at home and indoors. I think the Lions game is one of the ones I missed. I think Lions and Giants were the two that didn't go over. I could be wrong about that. 713-780 ESPN.
The Falcons 13-2-1.
Yeah,
on overs.
And I caught on to that about halfway through the season. And thanks to one of our good texters who was saying, we've seen the Falcons record against the spread, against the overs. And they've been money, and I started following it and then started picking up on it. I'm trying to think who cost me the most money. Might have been the Steelers. I think it probably was the Steelers who cost me the most money this year.
Just a question. How do some teams go 10-6 against spread, and then some go 10-6-1?
10-6-1, maybe they're including playoff games.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe like the teams that have already played playoff
game. Makes sense.
So,
all right. And then, of course, I get, mostly the tweeters are usually really good Cowboys fans. It's the texters, the ones that aren't. So, well, a Cowboy fan living in Houston, I deal with idiot Texans fans on a daily basis. Like, we haven't said they're out of their minds, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys take things so personally. You know? I'm not sure who I'm picking in that game yet. I just think I'm looking forward to it as a good game. Don't make me root against you guys. Don't make me do it. All right, guys. Got to tell you about Whit Myers. And, man, talking about this yesterday, I'm packing up all my stuff to move out. And I've got a lot of good Whit Myers. And I've almost everything else I'm trying to get rid of, but not this. And I've got like a bottle of Single Barrel. And I've got some Space City Vodka. I've got some of the Moonshine. They've got so many great products. I got some Sassafras Gin. And if you haven't tried all these, you need to. And a lot of them are available in your specs. I know the Downtown Specs has Space City Vodka and Single Barrel. There's still several bottles of Single Barrel there. I checked the other day. And it won't last, so you better grab it, because that's rare. But the best place to go for all of it is go out to their remodeled Craft Cocktail Bar and Lounge. They've got a whole new place out there. It's fantastic. It's a really cool place. They're open Thursdays and Fridays from 3 until 9, and Saturdays from noon until 6. You can try all their stuff. You can buy a bottle and take it home from there, too. And if you're going to have a private event, let's say you're going to have a bachelor party, and maybe you want to have a Cowboys watch party with your delusional friends, give them a call. They'll set it up for you. They've got great accommodations for private events. And great people. This is Houston's first distillery, Houston's best distillery, run by Blitzers, run by veterans, and I promise you, you're going to love everything you try. Visit them today, 16711 Hollister, or go to Whitmyers.com. That's Whitmyers.com. Beer is how I go.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Christopher says, my brother's a prime example. I continue to have to tell him to shut the hell up and quit being that Cowboy fan. He says most Cowboy fans piss him off. I would say 80% of them are pretty good. It's just that there's always a percentage, right? Like I always talk about listeners. I think 95% are awesome. 5% suck. I think Cowboys fans, 80% of them are awesome. 20% suck. It's just that 20% is really loud.
Yeah.
And annoying. Ma brings up a good point. Said you have not been at your second home in Vegas in a while. We haven't. And there were a few fights at the end of the year, but they weren't really... Yeah, the one that I would have loved to have gone to wasn't being handled by our usual folks, so that's why we didn't get to go. And then the ones they did cut at the end, hell, Manny Pacquiao fought and didn't even do it on HBO. Yeah. So, but there's a lot of good fights coming up here early in the year, so we'll get out there again. We're not going to be going anywhere before Super Bowl, but we'll definitely get out there soon. I'm ready. And speaking of Vegas, it looks like the Raiders to Vegas is probably going to happen based on everything that's coming out today.
That's kind of exciting.
Yeah, I'm less excited about that than I was the hockey team simply because we got football here. And,
that's true.
And I can see, I mean, I like the Raiders, but I can go to an NFL game anytime I want. I can't go to a hockey game. So when we're out there, and I'll set the over under that we're out there five times in 2017.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm going to go with five.
It's a lot.
Well, it's hit and miss. One year we're there like three times, and then one year we're there seven times.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna set the number at five.
I'd be happy with five. I'd be happy with four. I feel like yeah. Once a quarter is good for me.
Yeah, that's about right because, and it's that was we've been there so much now. There's not really anything new to do.
No, it's like, I do the same stuff every time I go.
Yeah,
there.
I do too.
I eat at the same places. I drink the same places. I'm a creature of habit. Gamble at the same place.
Yeah, I kind of have the same routine every time I go.
Unless they throw us into a different hotel, which they do occasionally, and that throws me off big time.
Yeah, but we usually adjust to that pretty fast.
Yeah.
It's when it just depends. We're either on one side of the strip or the other.
When we're on that second side of this, like Venetian side of the strip, it throws me off a bit. Because like all my normal restaurants and bars are on the
MGM
side.
You got to go to the other side. Yeah. Well, let's be honest. Burger bar is number one on the list. So
yes.
You know, you have to get over there one way or another. But see, I'm also closer to Peppermill on that side. So
that's true.
You get a chance to, yeah, it's just different.
Steven asks, can you rank the rest of the playoff quarterbacks best to worst? I wrote my list down. I want to see if yours is the same as mine.
Okay.
Like, and the way I did it, and I don't know if this is the way he meant, I'm going with who I feel best about having this season at quarterback.
Well, Tom Brady.
Okay. That's my number one also.
This is tough for me because I love Big Ben, especially in the playoffs. I'm going to take Big Ben. I'll take Big Ben over Aaron Rodgers.
I had Ben at four.
Okay.
You have Rodgers three.
I have Rodgers three.
I have Rodgers two.
I'll put Matt Ryan at four. Again, we're talking about playoff.
Right, that's what I'm talking
about. I'd rather have Ben Roethlisberger in the playoffs than Matt Ryan any day of the week. And I can tell you who's eight. That's pretty easy.
Yeah, we have the same eight, Brock Osweiler. So 5, 6, 7, Russell Wilson, Alex Smith, Dak Prescott.
I'll have Alex Smith seven. And then I'll go Russell ahead of Dak, but I think that's pretty close. I love the way Dak's playing.
Okay, so you have Wilson, Prescott, Smith. Right?
Yeah.
I have Wilson, Smith, Prescott.
Okay.
I mean, a rookie in the playoffs.
Yeah, I know exactly what Alex Smith is, and it's good enough to win a game, and he's not going to screw up, but I also think I think Prescott can do more if he needs to. We'll see.
That's fair. Well, Prescott has more weapons, which helps.
832 says, Cowboys fans have to deal with way more haters than anyone else, so we deserve to be a-holes.
No.
You know why you have more haters? Because you are a-holes. This is not a chicken and egg thing. You started it.
Wouldn't you say that New England Patriots might have more haters?
I think so now, just because of Patriots, what they've done recently.
Success.
I mean,
right.
I think in the mid-90s to late-90s, you could make that argument for the Cowboys. But the Cowboys have been so far removed from relevance that... No, I think the Patriots have more detractors. There's more Patriot haters than Cowboys.
Oh, there's
haters
no question. Did you pay any attention to that Deflategate BS?
Yeah,
and that everybody going nuts like they committed some horrible crime for this meaningless thing, and you know, it's not close.
It's kind of like Alabama.
Yeah,
Alabama. There's no question who the most hated college football program is. It's not even close.
And that's because of success.
Yeah. I mean, no one hated Alabama in the mid-90s when things were, it didn't happen. Now all of a sudden that hatred is there.
How many people hate Vanderbilt?
None.
How many people hate the Browns?
None. I mean, maybe some Bengal fans.
Maybe, but even they have to feel
they probably feel a little bad for them.
Yeah. Charger fan is probably not happy with them this year, but other than that.
Yeah.
Browns fans hate Browns fans.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And see,
49ers fans hate the Browns for getting in that number one pick.
Somebody mentions Duke. Yeah, Duke's up there. But that to me, it's more than just success with them. They're and maybe it's not, but I think their fans are. I just hate everything about Duke. I love Coach K. I think he's great. But I hate that he looks like a rat. I hate the Cameron crazies. I hate their angry white guys. I don't like them. And maybe it's because they're good. They've had some players I like. But on the whole, they're hard for me to like.
This is funny. Rich says, I have Osweiler 10th behind Garoppolo and Tony Romo. If you're doing that, I'll put Matt Schaub ahead of him. I'll probably put Brett Hundley ahead of him.
Yeah, if we're playing that game.
I mean, I might even put Tom Savage ahead of him.
One thing about Brett Hundley, when everybody talks about backup quarterbacks that – you know, might be worth pursuing in the offense. Nobody mentions that guy. I loved him coming out of college. And obviously with Aaron Rodgers on the field, you're not going to get out there.
Yeah.
That's a guy if you were looking to trade a draft pick for to take a chance on at a low rate.
I just always question if you take and it's the same reason why I question every backup out of New England ever, every backup out of Green Bay ever, and every backup out of New Orleans ever. Those offenses are designed to make quarterbacks look good. And
with good coaching and good players around them.
So when everyone's like, oh, Chase Daniel, everybody wants Chase Daniel, everybody wants Matt Flynn. No, probably not. You want them if the coaching staff is coming with them.
But see, here's the difference, okay? Those two guys, nobody thought they were going to be anything when they were drafted. They were late round picks. Yeah. Hundley, I think, went in the fourth round. I liked him as high as the second round. I think that's a guy that can play in this league.
Yeah.
So, and same thing with Garoppolo. And they may turn out to both be bums, but I think both of those were the kind of guys that I thought, hey, these guys can be starters in the NFL. And then they wind up on teams where they're never going to see the field. And then Garoppolo does and snaps. But, one thing I can tell you for sure.
When was Ryan Mallett drafted?
Third round.
Okay.
But that one.
And he, I mean, the physical tools were off the chart with that guy. But
and he would have gone higher
if he wasn't a drug head dummy.
Yeah.
But.
So he says Le'Veon Bell, allegedly, the Wildcat, by the way. Before Osweiler. Yeah. Yeah. That's going a bit far, but it's accurate. All right. One thing I am sure about is how good Blue Apron is. And
I love them.
Their ingredients. Love them. As a matter of fact, we've got one tonight that, we're going to be having. And here's the best part. It's affordable. It's less than $10 per person per meal. And you're going to get a great meal. You get a variety of new recipes each week. And the cool thing about these recipes, if you like cooking, you can keep these and use them later. My wife does that a lot. And you can make every one of these in 40 minutes or less. It's got a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients. So even a guy like me who can't cook his way out of a paper bag can feel like he knows what he's doing and cook something really good and really enjoyable.
Yeah, for under $10 per person per meal, I mean, it's hard to beat that. One of the featured upcoming meals, and this is circled on my list, pork chops and garlic piccata with scallion rice and spinach. I mean, they've got some just great meals. And it's stuff that, I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not thinking about cooking. Like, it's not something that pops into my head. Like, oh, this would be good. But then you see it on your site, and you're like, oh, that looks so good. And when you get it, it's always good. They're using ingredients that I wouldn't even think to buy at the grocery store. But I do now because I reuse those ingredients. I reuse those recipes. It's really easy. They can all be prepared in 40 minutes or less, and they've got a freshness guarantee. Check out this week's menu. Get the first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/blitz. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/blitz. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Come celebrate the big Texas party with ESPN 97.5 and SB Nation 1560 and Culture Map. It's happening Thursday, February 2nd at the Silver Street Studios. We'll have big-time athletes, celebrities like Jong Lee and A.J. Hoffman and Raheel and Granado, and then B-listers like me. All you can eat and drink, refreshing beer. What kind of barbecue, Jong?
Succulent.
Okay, that was kind of gross. That was very gross, and I'm sorry I did that. And smooth bourbon. You can buy your tickets at thebigtexasparty.com. Starting at only $125, get ready to celebrate the big game with Gal Media at the Big Texas Party. This is going to be fun. Tickets are going fast, guys, so you need to dive in. And if you got a business, we got a great VIP package where you're going to be up there with the big dogs like Hoffman. All right, before we get to the gym of the day, what was that you guys gave me? What pills were those?
I think it was just ibuprofen. Why?
Oh, really? Okay. Because
Viagra.
No.
Oh!
Yeah, you hadn't noticed this whole thing's raised an inch over here? Or half inch. Okay, let's be honest. No, because the shooting pain is gone. Now it's just a dull ache. So whatever it was, it worked. So I think I'm going to make it.
Did you take all four?
Yeah.
Oh.
Was I not supposed to do
that? I don't know. I thought you always just take like two.
I usually take three. So I don't think one more is going to hurt me. Now, if I start to drop dead, that's on you. Man, some of the things, like John McClain tweeted out this story from cron.com. You want to talk about your headlines where you just go, yeah, no bleep. Ball security crucial for Texans Brock Osweiler. Really? That's a story? People don't know that? Dude needs to not turn the ball over? Pretty simple, right? Man, they had something on their website today that I wanted to talk about. That Ike says, didn't Jason Garrett win a playoff game? I'd take him over Brock. Yeah. He's not active, Ike. But they had this thing that said, don't laugh, but here are the reasons the Texans can beat the Patriots. So I was prepared to laugh. So I clicked on it. You know what it was?
A slideshow?
An effing slideshow.
No.
With 14 slides. 14 slides.
No thanks.
I just don't click on anything they post anymore.
Who does that? Does anybody actually click on the slideshows?
Well, when they do like the power rankings and stuff, you're kind of like, it's going to be a slideshow.
It's going to take you forever. Ads pop up. It's really slow. And the one thing that I hate about it the most is you're defrauding your advertisers. Because you say, oh, we had 32 clicks on this. No, you had one. You just happened to have draft pick 1 through 32 on there, and somebody went through the whole thing.
I like it when on Facebook, when you click on like a fan page where, you know, reasons why, blah, blah, blah. And one of the commenters posts the entire thing on the comment section. I wish somebody from the Chronicle would do that, or a reader from the Chronicle would do that.
You could put Jerome in charge of that website, man. Wouldn't have any of this nonsense. It's frustrating because it's mindless. It's candy, and I hate it. I really want to hear from somebody who actually loves going through slideshows.
Nobody does.
Somebody says, if it's pictures of hot chicks or cheerleaders, I don't do that either.
I don't even need that.
Yeah, I think. I'm kind of monogamous when it comes to looking at hot chicks. I just want to look at one at a time, unless it's two of them together, and that's okay too, but I don't need a slideshow for that. You don't go slideshow to see one hot chick and then, okay, here's a slideshow with two hot chicks in the next frame. All right, time for the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Paddock Jeweler gym of the day.
All right, AJ, let's say we decide to change careers.
Okay.
We're going to become criminals.
Oh, I thought that I was feeling like you were leading me into a read.
No, no.
Okay.
No. Let's see. That's not until
later.
Next hour. I'll do it then.
All right.
But now let's say we want to become criminals, and we're going to start robbing places.
Okay.
So we're going to put on our masks and grab our guns.
Right.
And charge in and rob a place, right?
Of course.
Where's the last place that we would probably rob? Hey, you won't rob a police station, right? That would be,
no,
stupid.
That would be stupid.
There's nothing to steal there. So other than that, what would be the last place you'd want to go?
The zoo.
Oh, no, man. I would love to steal an okapi. Or maybe
a, like an unnecessary risk.
Or a Komodo
Those
dragon.
Hard to move on the black market.
Komodo dragon's not. Then you watch a freshman.
That's true.
They eat those things.
Yeah, but how are you going to get it out of there?
Well, I mean, I'd be a professional criminal. I'd have something to get him out of there with. It wouldn't be like
a cat carrier.
It'd be bigger than a cat carrier. I'd have like a little red wagon to put him in.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what we wouldn't rob. A gun store.
Oh, no, that's never a good idea.
And apparently, the Dixie Gun and Pawn in Boston, store owner Jimmy Groover said that two men wearing masks came in with guns drawn, demanding that he get on the floor while shouting they were going to kill him. Well, of course, Groover was wearing a handgun on his hip. Pulled out his gun, fired, hit one of the gunmen. The suspects opened fire as well. Later, police arrived to find shattered glass and one of the two suspects lying on the floor. The second suspect fled the scene and escaped in a silver Dodge Charger.
That sucks.
I can't believe he got away.
He's lucky.
Yeah. That's
the guy lying on the floor, dead or not dead?
Not dead, but wounded.
Oh, that's even worse. At that point, I'd just rather be dead.
Yeah. I'm not robbing a gun store. I'm going to rob someplace where it's easy to break in, where there's not going to be a guy sitting there with not only his gun, but a whole bunch of guns around him and probably a guy in the back pointing a gun at you. So that probably could have gone in the dumbass report, but we didn't have one this week. So that's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day. Fred, we've got a new sponsor on board, and it's a food sponsor, and you know how I feel about that. I feel happy. Raising Cane's is with us now, and if you haven't checked out Raising Cane's, you need to get out there and do it, guys. Raising Cane's, founded in 96 in Baton Rouge. They've now made their way to Houston. They're all over the city. And you got to check this place out. They use only the highest quality ingredients. They're serving fresh, never frozen, premium chicken tenderloins that are marinated for 24 hours, hand-battered, and cooked to order. The tailgate's perfect for any event that you could do from 25 to 100 fingers or more, ready several minutes after you order. You don't have to call ahead. It's just go in, hey, I need 200 chicken fingers. They'll take care of you. They got it ready. And the sauce, oh, I can't even tell you. The sauce is so good. It's tangy. It's got a little bit of spice, ton of flavor, and it's available with any meal. And they've got 21 and 32-ounce containers of it if you fall in love with it like I do. And the lemonade, fresh squeezed daily. It's all amazing. Everything at Raising Cane's is amazing. And right now, what else would be amazing? Making $100,000. You could win $100,000 when you play the Peel the Love game. Brought to you by Raising Cane's. Very simple. You collect the letters to spell C-A-N-E-S. You win $100,000 when you play this game. It doesn't get any easier than that. 1 in 3 is a winner. Get out there. Check it out. It's a great time to try it. Great time to peel the love with Raising Cane's all over the city. That's Raising Cane's.
ESPN 97.5.